Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5. The Game, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, Connor Newt here with you. The Tennessee Titans wrapped up training camp today with a joint practice against the Chicago Bears. And to help us discuss that, let's go to our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, and welcome in Patrick Finley, Bears reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times. Hello, Patrick. How are you?
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're doing well. Thank you so much for joining us. So one thing we love to talk about, Patrick, and I know you do this as well, covering the Bears, when you watch a joint practice, it's so subjective, people trying to figure out who, quote unquote, won the practice. But I would love your perspective on how the practice went today from the Bears side.
I think the Bears started off offensively really well, and then the Titans seemed to stiffen up in the last, I don't know, half hour of practice. And by the end of it, the Titans defense looked really good. Defensively, the Bears lost their two starting corners to injury in the first 45 minutes. And that put a damper on things. I thought Caleb Williams was better than Cam Ward was, but he had his ups and downs too. And of course it was hot and it was physical. And it got really chippy there at the end.
Patrick, we are, of course, watching Cam Ward as he embarks on year two, just as you were watching Caleb Williams embark on year two at this time last year. So let's go back to this time 1 year ago. What was the conversation in Chicago about Caleb Williams at this time a year ago?
People were wondering whether he was going to be good, for lack of a better phrase. His first season with Matt Eberflus was just so sideways. You know, the Bears did something they'd never done in 104 at the time year history of the franchise, which was they fired a head coach in the middle of the season. You know, they fired their offensive coordinator before that. By the end, he was playing essentially, he was playing for an interim coach. And it was as bad of a first season as you could possibly have. And then they got Ben Johnson, and the belief in Ben Johnson within the building was tremendous even a year ago. And everybody, though, wanted to see what Ben was going to do with Caleb and how Caleb would react to being coached really hard. I don't know as much about the Titans as I do about the Bears, but, I don't think it takes a genius to see some comparisons between Cam Ward's lost first season and Caleb Williams' lost first season. And it's a really important, heady time for both franchises, I think, when you get to that point.
So, Patrick, take us through year two for Caleb Williams. What were the major keys? You mentioned Ben Johnson, of course, but what were the major keys to Caleb Williams' maturation? Because we're all, of course, wondering if Cam Ward can take a similar leap as Williams in year two. So when you look back on year two, what were the major questions that Williams answered with his performance last season?
Only two quarterbacks in the history of football had ever been sacked more in a season than Caleb Williams was as a rookie. Caleb finding a way to keep himself safe and, quite frankly, having an offensive coordinator who was skilled enough to find ways to help, especially on pass downs, was really, really important to Caleb's maturation. At this time last year, I think we were all worried that maybe he'd be seeing ghosts because of all the hits he'd taken the previous season, and that was not the case. The other thing that Caleb did to help make that jump is he was tremendous in the fourth quarter. I think he had 7 comebacks on the season when you count the playoffs, and that is just an absurd number. Now the debate is whether the Bears can count on him putting on that cape with 5 minutes to play in every game or whether they'd be better served with him just being more consistent in the first, second, and third quarters. That was a huge part of it. And, this is boring, but it's true. having a run game that doesn't put him in third and nine was really, really important to him to keep that defense honest. And, you know, to me, those were the big three things that at this time last year, we didn't know whether they'd be able to do any of them. And as it turned out, he was pretty good at all three.
We talk with Patrick Finley, Bears reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times. Now, what we're trying to figure out here, Patrick, is, and there is the comparison with Caleb Williams, how long will this take? Because I think some of the fan base is a little antsy, and I'm sure they were the same way there in Chicago. But how long did it take for it to seem as if Caleb figured it out, at least to a point where this offense was going to take another step? Because that's what the fan base is trying to figure out here with Cam Ward and Daboll.
In Chicago, it's taken 106 years and counting. quite honestly, I mean, there was no franchise more associated with quarterback failure, really, than the Bears. I mean, they look at the Browns and laugh. I mean, when you go back, you know, you could argue it's the greatest, you know, the greatest quarterback they've ever had is Jay Cutler, and the second greatest quarterback they ever had played in the 1940s. Like, that, you know, so Bears fans have been looking for that answer, and we watched Justin Fields kind of get people's hopes up and then not turn out well. We saw Mitch Trubisky do the same. So Bears fans were dubious of Caleb. It was very much a we'll believe it when we see it. And I think it took until about midseason when everybody was willing to just kind of believe in him and quite honestly believe in Ben Johnson. I tell people this, I believe in Caleb because of Ben Johnson, not the other way around. And Caleb's got these skills that are just otherworldly. You know, the way he can contort his body when he's rolling out is something that you don't really see anywhere, even at the highest levels of football. But I think having an offensive coordinator and play caller in Ben Johnson, who is really, really good at what he does, is absolutely the best thing that Caleb has going in his career. And I don't know whether you guys heard it today, but somebody asked Caleb kind of what advice he had for Cam Ward. And Caleb said, trust your play caller. And I think that's a really important place to start.
Now, you mentioned the run game, and we've been talking about that for the longest. Obviously, our offensive line is getting a little bit better, led by Peter Skoronski. But we've always said if Cam can have a really good run game or a run game that was effective, then it would help him out. It seemed like that is what was happening with Chicago, and you mentioned it. They don't have a dynamic run game, but it is a run game that's efficient.
Yes, correct. 2 years ago, DeAndre Swift, I think, had the lowest yards below expected of any running back in football. That meant that when there was a hole there, he was getting less and less yards than the metrics said that he should. And the Bears brought in Eric Bieniemy as the running backs coach last year. And he is a passionate dude. He's a loud dude. And he just kept screaming, just get 4.5 yards a carry. Just get 4.5 yards, and we are going to be good. And that's what he wound up doing. It changed, it changed his mindset, and it made the offense consistent. And you said it, like, you know, it's, I don't know how explosive their run game is, but it was one of the best in the league, and they were able to do that thing in the NFL that the good teams do, which is when everybody in the stadium knew that they were running the ball, they could still run the ball. And that just took so much pressure off of Caleb Williams, and it meant that he didn't have to be Superman all the time. And then when they needed him to be Superman at the end of games, he could do that too.
We're talking with Patrick Finley. He is the Bears reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times. He was on hand for practice today between the Bears and the Titans, and the two teams will play on Saturday here at Nissan Stadium. So, Patrick, one thing we still hear about with Caleb Williams is he still needs another notch in the accuracy department. We talk about this a lot with Cam Ward as well. What's the Bears' approach and trying to get him to a next level with accuracy?
Ben Johnson wants him to complete 70% of his passes. That's what Ben has said out loud for 2 years. Last year, he was nowhere close, and I think only one quarterback in the league completed 70%. I believe it was Jared Goff and nobody else. So he has set this bar ridiculously high in terms of what he expects, and quite honestly, I think he hopes Caleb can get as close to it as he can, but I don't know whether he expects it to actually be 70%. So that was kind of step one. And then step two this past offseason has been talking about ball placement. It's not just that he needs to complete the pass. He needs to put it in the exact right place to where his wide receivers and tight ends and running back can catch it and get upfield and get yards. And that is, quarterbacking 202 is the way that they've looked at it. And, he's not perfect. He's not the world's most accurate quarterback. But, by focusing on it, by talking about it, by talking to the media about it and putting it out into the world, the Bears are hoping that Caleb will get incrementally better at that. Because, guys, he has weapons. He's got Colston Loveland and Roma Dunze and Luther Burden and Swift and Cole Kmet. Like, he's got some guys who can really do some damage, but he's got to not only complete the pass, but complete it in the right way.
Patrick, one of the storylines here at Nashville is that the Titans in the first two preseason games have won the games, but neither the Seahawks nor the 49ers played any of the starters even at the beginning of the game at all for a series or two, and they haven't looked great. What's the Bears' approach in these preseason games, and have they said what they're doing on Saturday?
They have not said what they're doing Saturday. The Bears' offense didn't play in the first game at all, and then in their second game last week in Cincinnati, they played exactly 9 snaps before they went to the backups. My instinct is that they're not going to play their starters. The Bears have been really banged up this preseason, but I didn't think they'd play their starters last week either. And 2 hours before the game, Caleb Williams went out and started warming up. So we will see. I think that, and you've heard, I think, around the league reference to this, but the league presented some data to NFL teams about what happens when you have two joint practices in a preseason and what that does to prepare you, to callus you, I guess, for the first 6 weeks of the regular season. And from my understanding, what they showed was that, if you have those two joint practices, you don't necessarily need to play the preseason games for the data to show that you're going to be healthier at the start of the season as a result of it. I know that the Bears listened to that. I think other teams have listened to that as well. So we'll see. It's not going to be significant, I don't think. And, it'll be interesting to see what happens if they do get that first series.
We'd love to get your perspective, Patrick, on the play where Xavier Woods hit Wandale Robinson. It set off the whole team's meeting there and the reaction and all that stuff. I realize, for people that don't know, there's two fields in play. You've got the Bears offense against the Titans defense on one field, and then it's flopped on a second field. So not everybody can watch every play. But did you get a chance to take a look at that play?
Oh, yeah. I was maybe, 30 yards away from it when it happened. I was watching it. Yeah, I thought it was dirty. The Bears have been accused in the Ben Johnson era of being really physical in these joint practices. And I think that's the way Ben likes it, to tell you the truth. But I can't imagine, if you look at the film, that anybody on the Chicago side thinks that what he did was okay. Knocking a guy to the ground during a thud session over the middle, potentially concussing him, that's not good. And I don't think it's acceptable. And, Xavier Woods, this isn't some rookie who didn't know what he was doing. he's been in the league. He played for you guys. I think he's made 130 career starts, something like that. Ignorance is not going to be an excuse for him. We'll see if that has any bearing on whether he makes the team. He's fighting for, one of their two starting safety spots because Kobe Bryant got hurt. I suspect it won't have an effect on whether he makes the team or not, but I don't think the Bears were particularly proud of that moment.
Finally, Patrick, give me your outlook for the Bears in that division, which, of course, the Lions are coming off a year where they didn't take the next step. The Bears jumped up and took a really good step forward last year. How do you see that division and where the Bears fit?
I think the Bears are going to have a better team this year than they did last year, but probably finish with a worse record, if that makes sense. I think this year's team would beat last year's team in a theoretical matchup. But, you're playing a first-place schedule now, and that's going to be tough. And, again, you can't expect Caleb Williams to score a touchdown in the final 2 minutes, whatever it is, 6 times, to hang on. I think that the NFC North is, again, going to be really, really strong. I suspect that the Vikings are probably going to finish last in it unless Kyler Murray is better than I think he is. But the Packers, the Vikings, and the Bears, I think those are all three playoff caliber teams.
Patrick Finley of the Chicago Sun-Times has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. Patrick, thank you so much for your insight. Enjoy Nashville.
I will. Thank you, guys.
615-737-1025. We will react to what Patrick Finley of the Chicago Sun-Times had to say. Really interesting stuff on the conversations around Caleb Williams at this time a year ago. Similar conversations that we've been having about Cam Ward. We'll get into that coming up next. 615-737-1025. We are broadcasting from the Bisbee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home with a $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025, the game.
You got to like the theme today.
Absolutely. The theme.
We've introduced you to a lot of nice ladies today.
Yes, the theme songs where the titles are ladies' names.
Who's your favorite lady, Willie?
Well, we've met Layla today. We've met Valerie.
Roxanne.
Roxanne.
Mm-hmm. Billie Jean.
Billie Jean. Brandy. Yeah. Valerie.
Oh.
Yeah, we've met a lot of
ladies. And we've got one more we got to introduce a little bit later.
I feel like we're doing that part of the Petey Pablo song, Freak-a-Leak. We're just listing women's names.
Freak-a-Leak?
Yeah.
Adam, what do you listen to? Seriously.
That's a great song, Freak-a-Leak. By Petey Pablo. No.
I haven't heard it. Honestly, I haven't.
Yes, you have.
No, I swear.
Yes, you have.
Hey, listen. Hand on a Bible. I've never heard it.
All right. I'm going to send Freak-a-Leak to the group chat as soon as the show is over.
Yes, I will sample it.
Because I wasn't a big... I didn't listen to Petey Pablo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so...
I have a soft spot. Really? I have a soft spot.
Willie, where's your...
I don't know.
A Freak-a-Leak?
Can we get that as a drop? Willie going, Freak-a-Leak! In the widest possible voice.
It'll go right next to Flash Me.
Flash Me.
Exactly. Flash me. Freak-a-Leak.
Well, I've got a soft spot for Petey Pablo. You know, North Carolina, come on, raise up. If you watched the Hurricanes during the playoffs, you heard that song a lot.
That drop is right in between Flash Me and Don't Question My Testicular Fortitude by You.
We say a lot of funny things on this show.
Oh, man.
Anyway, thank you to Patrick Finley of the Chicago Sun-Times for joining us. And the reason why I wanted to have him on the show, not only to get his perspective from practice, because he was there today covering the Bears, but the Caleb Williams-Cam Ward comparison. We talked about it a little bit earlier in the show, but it sounds like, Willie, that a lot of the conversations we're having about Cam Ward this summer were the same conversations people in Chicago last year were having about Caleb Williams. So I thought it was enlightening to hear about what those conversations were in Chicago and how Caleb Williams answered those questions.
And I think the backdrop, too, of the history of Bears quarterbacks definitely was at the forefront of the skepticism. And you know what? I thought it was surprising. He never referenced the whole Caleb Williams' dad didn't want him to play for the Browns or for the Bears. But I thought it was a funny line of, you know, the Bears look at the Browns, who've had their plenty of quarterback problems, going, oh, you guys think you guys have problems. But I think with all of that in the backdrop, it's pretty meaningful, the jump that he made from year one to year two. And he did credit Ben Johnson for a lot of it. And I thought that was, Derek, one of the things I was most intrigued with going forward is, I'm asking myself, how much will having Brian Daboll in the fold help with some of these things? Can he make some big strides just by having a better play caller and what should be a better supporting cast to some degree?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at what, and because ultimately I think that's what the Titan fans want to see. You know, you look at a former first overall in Caleb Williams and how he struggled, but then his second year under new regime, much better play caller in Ben Johnson, you saw how much better he got. You know, you wouldn't, if you looked at his, because I think his completion percentage went down some, but I think the way he operated, not taking as many sacks, it got a lot better. So that's, you know, those are signs of optimism moving forward. I think that's where they are, meaning Chicago, because of that relationship between the head coach / offensive coordinator and the quarterback. And that's what they want here, and that's what Cam has been talking and Daboll has been talking the whole time, building that chemistry, that relationship, being able to take that next step, because I think one of the things that's going to be big for Cam is, and we talked about it all the time, not taking those sacks. And we even, I think that was our first question. Was that our first or second? Have we even done the sack thing yet?
Yes.
Was the first one.
Our first of 10 pressing Titans questions. Cam Ward improving on avoiding sacks.
Exactly. So if you see that, you know, you're looking at Caleb Williams, and one of the main things that stick out is that he cut down on his sacks tremendously. His sack yardage was, I think, like 466 2 years ago, went down to just above like 100 last season. That means he took less sacks. He knew what to do with the ball. And that's what's going to help Cam stay on task. That's what's going to help him, you know, go from first and 10 to second and 4 instead of going from first to 10 to second to 15. You know, if he can keep it, you know, staying on task, and that's what Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson were able to do last season. So that's what the Titan fans are looking for with Cam Ward and Dable, keeping him on task, not taking those unnecessary hits and those sacks that he did last year.
So Caleb Williams, his rookie season, he took 68 sacks. He lost 466 yards on those 68 sacks. He had a sack rate of 10.79%. Last season, 24 sacks, a sack rate of 4.05. So it dropped more than 6 percentage points. Last season, Cam Ward, 55 sacks, tied for the most in the league, a sack rate of 9.24%.
So if he could make a similar cutdown, what would that mean? What would the rest of the numbers look like for the offense?
So if Cam Ward can get down into the 3-4% range in the sack rate, you mean?
Yeah, let's just say 4-4.5, you know, to not anything ridiculous, but quite a bit better. Like, that's a significant jump for Williams. If Ward could do that, I'm thinking it just keeps you out of more third and forevers.
Exactly.
It probably gets more first down. Like, I wonder what it equates to with the number of points you're going to score.
You just call the game different because you're not putting these positions where now, you know, I had a play for second and 6, but it's second and 16 because he's taking a sack. So that does throw off what you're trying to do as far as an offense.
I wonder what they taught Williams on, because we know Williams can move, right? That was evident today.
Yes.
And anytime you watch him, there's always a play or two where you're like, wow, look what he just did. He just outran everybody, and, you know, he did all of that. But he had that same skill set the year before, but he got sacked 60-something times. So,
and he held the ball longer on average last season than this season. So he took 60-something sacks.
What was the breakthrough? Was it simply the plays that they were calling? Was he just that much better? I just wonder how you get to that number.
Well, I'm reminded – it's a good question. I'm also reminded – and this goes back to the Dable conversation, and we'll dive more into that Dable Ward relationship tomorrow. But we had Ted Wynn of The Athletic on the show a few weeks ago. He was present for the first joint practice with the 49ers out in California. And we asked him, you know, what should the confidence level be in Cam Ward making a similar year two leap as Caleb Williams and Drake May? And he did an exercise where he talked to defensive coaches around the NFL and had them rank their top play callers. Ben Johnson and Josh McDaniels were considered by their defensive peers two of the best play callers in the NFL. I think Johnson might have been second on the list. I'll have to go back and pull up the story from Ted Wynn. But that was the conversation we were having about Dable. Dable did not crack the top 10. And Wynn had, I would say, some skepticism of how much of an impact Brian Dable could have just because he wasn't on the same level as a play caller as Johnson and McDaniels.
I mean, yes, his track record, because we just got finished looking at Jared Goff's stats from the 3 seasons he was with Ben Johnson. I see why Ben Johnson, the bar is 70%, because Jared Goff was above 70% or hovering right there at 70%. So when you go out there and orchestrate a high-powered offense year after year after year, I think people tend to look at you different and your team is winning. Now, Dable, you can say that he did sort of help, you know, Josh Allen mature. But then a lot of Josh Allen's success came after he left, too. So Josh Allen just continued to be that guy. And Dabo has sort of moved around. But then he goes to the Giants. And, you know, he has a good season with Daniel Jones. And then, you know, he's bringing Dart along his rookie year. So he doesn't have sort of like the depth of sort of skins on the wall in a sense that Ben Johnson does. It's just like some of these guys, whether it's Ben Johnson, Shanahan, McVay, they're just a tier above everybody. I've come to realize they may be at this point in time just a slab bit higher than Andy Reid, who I think is a wonderful play caller. I think he's one of the greatest play callers ever. But if we're talking now in this game, you think of those guys, and you never think of Daboll in that manner. Well, he may have to do it a different way. It may not be as flashy, but as long as he get the quarterback to develop and play the way we believe he can play, that's all that matters.
The other thing too, Willie, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think I heard Patrick Finley say that it was around mid-season that people started having the doubts around Caleb Williams started to dissipate a little bit. We've been wondering, of course, like, how long are fans willing to wait on Cam Ward? If he stinks in week one, that's it, it's over. You know, is it that quick? Is the hook that quick? Is it the full year two? Is it mid-season? If I recall correctly, that's what he said. Please correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, he did, and they. I think it's probably just the rise and the fall of the team. They were 1-3, and they were 3-4 after 7 games, and then down the stretch, they went on a really good run. They lost the last 2 games, but they pretty much, I think, already solidified a playoff spot at that point. They also won, and he referenced this, some really close games. They won consecutive games 25-24. So there was a lot of drama in there. They were getting it done in the close games as well. So, look, that's a great fan base. It's a great sports town, Chicago. They want to love that team. You know, that's a great – they are thirsting for a level of success. And let's not forget, you got the Packers in that division. You got the Vikings a couple years ago had a great year with Sam Darnold quarterbacking. Let's not forget that. And, of course, the Lions have been resurgent. So that's a tough division to make it happen in. So there, you heard Patrick say this. There's no guarantee that you're just going to roll in there and win 11 games again. You could be a better team but not have as good a record, which he kind of laid out. So this is an ongoing thing.
For what it's worth, without getting too incredibly nerdy, Caleb Williams...
That's never stopped you before.
No, it hasn't. Caleb Williams in 2024 had a negative 69.4 expected points added. Negative 69.4. Last season, plus 30.4. So a significant change. I mean, nearly...
And that's not like league tops, but he went from low ranking, you know, to the bottom 5 or 6 in the overall ratings, whatever nerd stat you want to pull out there.
Yes.
You know, he didn't rank very high, Caleb Williams. And he wasn't top 5, top 10 last year, but he got to the better than average area in that middle 10. I would take that and not ask any questions if Cam Ward could get to that point. But as we know, based on Cam Ward's stats last year, they were in the neighborhood of Deshaun Watson, Will Levis, Zach Wilson. You know, we did the numbers, you know, the last few years, the lowest ratings of any quarterback around the board. Cam Ward was down at the bottom. So he's got a long way to go just to get to average. But if he can get to average in year two, that's super encouraging.
So last season, out of 33 qualified quarterbacks, according to NFL Pro, Caleb Williams ranked 13th in total expected points added. Plus 30.4.
Oh, God. Right.
So Cam Ward.
That's a big jump.
Cam Ward. 33 out of 33. Negative 143.3. The next closest quarterback, Geno Smith, negative 87.1.
So he's looking up at a huge pile of quarterbacks that he's got to try to climb over just to get to the middle of the
pack. Yes. So if Cam Ward can jump in that category from dead last by a ridiculous margin to somewhere in the bottom third, maybe somewhat close to halfway. I mean, I agree with you, Willie.
Would you take this, Derek? Mm-hmm. League average. If you just say whatever in this
whatever nerdy stat you want to use.
We can pick out the nerdy stat. You can blindfold Adam and have him just pick a stat that we think is a good indicator of what the league average is. Would you take that for Cam?
And expected points added basically measures how much a single play can change an offensive scoring outlook.
There's QBR. Yes. There's different things you can look at.
You want him to be, because if he's in the middle of the pack, that means the team's better. I just think if he gets better than what he was last year. Now, wherever that falls out, I don't want him to be at the bottom again or either, 32nd. No. But if he's making a jump that helps this team win, then that's all you can ask for. But yeah, if he falls in the middle, that means this team's winning games. Because we saw when he was at the bottom, this team won, two games?
Like Bryce Young, he made a nice jump. Mm-hmm. His numbers weren't that great. I don't know if they were winning because of him, but it looks a whole lot better. Mm-hmm.
But he led his team to the playoffs.
Because they mm-hmm. won some big games. They got to the playoffs. So it wasn't anything earth-shattering, but it was a nice step forward. Now the question is, where does he go mm-hmm. from there? Where does the team go from there?
And look, the Bears are a prime regression candidate this season. A lot went the Bears' way last mm-hmm. season. So as Patrick said, the Bears could be – the Bears, what did he say? It was really like the Bears.
He said they could have a better team, which he believes they do, but not have a good record.
Yeah. Yes. 615-737-1025. Titans and Bears to wrap up the preseason on Saturday at Nissan Stadium. Thank God the preseason is basically over. Today was the last day of training camp. Thank the Lord. 615-737-1025. We'll wrap up the show coming up next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan and Donick, 1025 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you wrapping up the show tomorrow.
Along with Gloria.
Hello,
who joins
Gloria.
Our group. Yeah.
Willie Donick, Adam Vingan, Derek Mason, Gloria, and Connor New, what's coming up on the 6?
PK, fake PK as we call him, is
going to
join the show. A lot of reaction today from practice. A lot of breakdown, a lot of notable things to talk about. So,
all right. So stay tuned right after our show, The 6 with Connor Newt and Parker Kelly. A reminder that tomorrow, all day long, starting at 6 a.m. with Robbie and Rex Road, all the way to 6 o'clock with us. We will be at T-Line in West Nashville as we celebrate 1025 The Game's 15th anniversary or birthday, your choice. We've got prizes to give away all show and day long across all of our shows, starting with Robbie and Rux Road again at 6 o'clock. Again, I'm taking a sneak peek at the prizes that DVD is giving away. We're going to give away a pair of tickets to an upcoming Vanderbilt men's basketball game. We're going to give away a pair of tickets to the Music City Kickoff, Ole Miss versus Louisville, at Nissan Stadium.
Still got to practice that.
Yes.
Yeah, you do.
We're going to give away some Predators tickets, a family four-pack. We're going to give away some Auburn, Wisconsin men's basketball tickets at Bridgestone Arena as well. So concert tickets, Predators tickets, Vandy tickets all day long starting at 6 a.m. every hour. Starting at 6 again with Robbie and Rexford. At this point, I'm just saying Louisville because I think it's funny.
It sounded like you said Louisville.
Do I sound like Scooby-Doo?
We'll upgrade you to Loserville at some point.
By the way, one texter says, Adam with some hood points for the P.D. Pablo reference. That gives me all of one hood point in my life. I will take it.
He said some. That means multiple.
Okay, I'll take two hood points. I can't wait to go home and tell my wife, I got hood points today.
You sound like you're saying that to Steve Harvey. I'll take two hood points, Steve.
Oh, boy. All right, so this just crossed my on my feed, more in the crazy world of college football. This from On3. A new temporary restraining order issued by a judge in Dallas on Thursday named about two dozen players who will now have eligibility restored. According to On3's Pete Nakos, the TRO names the NCAA, SEC, and SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey as defendants. That comes within days of the SEC announcing a ban on former professional players playing for teams within the conference. So what does it mean that Sankey, as well as the NCAA and SEC, have been named defendants? If the NCAA or SEC wants to try to block any of their returns, they would have to go to court and argue their case in front of the judge, according to the order.
That's all they want, is to, you know, buy some time and try to tie this thing up in court.
I mean, remember what Dan Wolkin told us yesterday. Greg Sankey doesn't have very many wins, right? Isn't that what he said? This is an opportunity, right, Willie? You said during the break, show some spine, Sankey.
He's got to put this foot down. He's got to draw the line and fight. Because as we know, it's the playbook is you get the judge to get the injunction just to buy yourself time. You didn't win the case. You're just staying it, which is I don't understand why the judges don't have the scope of when they're doing this, what the ripple effect is. But the court of public opinion, as much as maybe we have a beef with Trinidad Chambliss getting another year, or Diego Pavia getting another year, or Joey Aguilar not getting another year after he appealed for one. These individual cases, none of them get to the point of Sorsby, which we all agreed that was a ridiculous decision. Mm-hmm. And number two, players playing in the NFL or trying out for the NFL and then getting cut playing college. That just nobody thinks that's a good idea. Nobody. Mm-hmm. Nobody. You know, finding the legal loophole is one thing, but the common sense court of public opinion, you don't have anybody backing you up on that. But just like, that's why Texas Tech ultimately lost the Sorsby thing. It's because everybody raised their hand and said, hold up, judge or no judge, this is ridiculous.
But you're not, I mean, people that bring up the Diego Pavia situation, you're not comparing apples to apples. You're not. He was not on the NFL roster.
Right.
You know, he was not in camp. And I've heard that several times. Oh, what about Diego and this guy? They were not in camps. That's the biggest thing. If these kids wouldn't have went to camp, then maybe they would have had a more of a sort of sympathetic leg to stand on in a sense. But they went to camp. And maybe the coaches would have a sympathetic leg to stand on. But once they declared themselves was in camp, you lose all of that. So, I mean, I don't know what the SEC is going to do. They need to do what the Big Ten did and just say, you know what, these are our rules. Every coach but that one coach believe in our rules, and that's the way they're going to be.
I do wonder, too, Adam, when basketball runs around, or rolls around, because it's going to be here soon. Remember, they start earlier. They start with the scrimmages. Coaches have to try to look into the crystal ball here. If you've got one of those guys, and Tennessee's got one that played for Vanderbilt last year. No, I'm not talking about Jalen Carey. I'm talking about Jalen Washington, who's the next guy that's going over. He is in this category, the class of 22. He got the injunction or whatever. Tennessee took him. But now there's questions of whether he's going to play. Connor has been celebrating Mark Mitchell, who's 35 years old, I think, has played for Missouri.
And Duke's
a really good player.
Two kids,
and
a wife.
Yeah, started at Duke.
Yeah.
He's younger than me.
Will Wade, by the way, speaking of LSU, Will Wade has four players on his roster.
Who
are in the NBA?
Well, maybe.
They're older players.
He's trying to get these class of 22 stars to fill out the roster, and right now it's in limbo. So I guess Will Wade is going to play shorthanded.
The other part of this that goes, I wouldn't say unnoticed, but you don't think about the headline of it in the, hey, let the kid play. In most cases, to take a kid this late,
you have to remove
a kid.
Yes.
And that's not right. I don't care if it's a scrub like me, say, well, you know, we don't need Willie. Mm-hmm. Let's just tell Willie to go elsewhere. I mean, that's this person's livelihood. You're at school. You're on a team, and you're yanking that person for the team for just being there. Like you're the odd man out. That's just not right at this stage of the game.
Well, if he has a scholarship, he or she, then the right thing, if you're going to do that, especially now, the right thing would be is to, okay, as long as you want to stay as a student, you can stay as a student, free, go to school. Because at this point, if you do tell someone your services, hey, we're moving on from you, where are they going to go? Not too many places.
Yeah. Josh on our text line says, as a Louisville native and hater, say it like LOL, but quickly, Loserville is also accepted.
Louisville.
Does it go Big Blue, Josh? Is that what it is?
Yeah, maybe. Quickly before we go, I do want to give a shout out to an educator. Her name is Candy Sydney Browning. She is a 36-year-old second grade teacher in Atlanta who has come up with a genius thing. It's called the gas station.
Okay, now, after you explain this, I want you to tell me why you think this
exactly.
is genius.
Exactly, why is this so genius?
If this is, because I'm debating whether
I don't think it's genius.
So this, hear him out.
Second grade teacher, Miss Candy Sydney Browning, she has a designated corner of her classroom called the gas station, where if children need to pass gas, they get up from their desks, go to the corner, fart, and sit back down.
I don't know why.
So,
her explanation, she tells Today.com, quote, "I have a very weak stomach, so I cannot take it." And so I was like, okay, I'm just going to create this little area over here, and you just get up, you go over there, do your business, come back, and that's just it, end quote.
What if like eight kids got a fart and just fart after fart
Well,
after
but don't
fart.
You think there'll be and then eventually, several of the kids who think it's funny and they'll exactly. talk, well, I'm going to go back there. First of all, you get out of whatever you're doing, right? Oh, this is great. I can stop my work and actually go back here.
We have one of those here. It's in the corner right behind you, Willie.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I was about to say, I think this station, this studio specifically, is too far gone. There have been too many farts passed in this small
And
in
we're in close
space.
Quarters. The ventilation is in question here. Is there good ventilation in this fine teacher's room?
I have not visited said
in
room.
The, in the gas station?
Doesn't the smell
is
eventually reaches you?
Yeah.
I'm sure it does.
I don't know. Maybe there's like an air purifier over there or something.
Could be.
I don't know. But she's normalizing bodily functions, and I think that's great.
Two sprays when you go over there.
I think that's great to normalize bodily functions. People are embarrassed. Some people. Some people might not be embarrassed to fart in public, but some people are embarrassed to fart in public.
She's got
to
teach them how to make Febreze clouds now.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
You pass one, make a cloud, walk through it. You're good.
I will say, in helping move my son into his dorm, which has six baseball players.
So many farts. So many farts happening in that suite.
They did have the sprays and the
potpourri.
Oh,
you have to.
They did have that handy. I'm like, okay, good job, guys. Thinking ahead. Well done.
To, man. Six, woo-hoo.
Six guys in close quarters.
Oh, man, gosh.
One texter says, does she have an exhaust fan? Is it vacuum sealed? So many questions.
So many questions.
That's not for me to decide. But
is there a jar over in the corner? In the jar,
but I guess she has to get over. She figures the initial craziness of, oh, my gosh, this is crazy. If I need to do this, I can go to the designated gas station.
Yes. Yeah.
I guess the newness will wear off after a while, and it could be more effective at that point.
How long?
But you think it's genius, Adam.
I think she's normalizing bodily functions, and we shouldn't be embarrassed
about it. That's a good
thing.
No. How long is it do you have to remain in the gas station?
I think you just go there.
It's going to trail you. You got to stay at least for a second or two or three.
You toot.
More than gas.
You toot. Well, then go to the actual bathroom. You toot. You stay there a second just to let it waft, and then you go back to your seat.
That's what I'm saying. Is it just, okay, I'm going to go to the gas station and run back over here?
I have to say, I don't want to get juvenile about this at all, but I have wondered about the physics of it traveling with you. Like if you... How does
it
that
does
work?
Travel.
I think it does.
Absolutely.
The wind factor, but if there's no wind, if you move, does it move with you? Or can you clear the area? Can you leave it behind you?
We're all grown men talking about
station.
Farting on the radio. So
I guess
I'm trying to do
thing,
this as
the juvenile
scientific.
Thing is out the window.
I guess it depends on the potency.
We'll get Bill Nye on the show tomorrow. to break it all down. We'll get a scientist on the program. That will do it for us today. No farting talk tomorrow, I promise. We will be live at T-Line in West Nashville celebrating our station's 15th birthday. Again, all day long, starting with Robbie and Rex Road at 6 a.m. All of our programs will be live at T-Line. We've got ticket giveaways every single hour. We, on our show, have four separate giveaways. Maybe we'll play some Ask D-Mace for those giveaways. Mm. We're going to have a lot of fun. Come out and join us. Again, that's T-Line, T-E-E, line in West Nashville to celebrate our 15th birthday. We'll talk to you tomorrow from T-Line at 3 p.m.
Be loved, love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful day. I love you. The team loves you. Hear that music? Don't you forget about us, because we will not forget about you. We're back on these airwaves starting at 3 p.m. on 102.5 The Game, discussing the upcoming game with the Chicago Bears, Titans, Vandys, everything. We're going to be talking sports here on this station. As I always say, we're going to be talking, and
you will be listening.
The Six is next. Peace.
Freak a leaks.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.